Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness and mercy. Thou hast done for us so much that is good. Thou hast given us such great precious promises, urging us to put our trust in Thee, promising to take care of us, assuring us of Thy constant care. We thank Thee for it. And our Father, we pray now that as we study Thy Word, we may have Thy help, that we may understand these things better. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we go on in our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, and especially in this section that we call the Sermon on the Mount, we come now in the latter part of the sixth chapter to a remarkable interpretation of the relationship we have with God in His providence. The Lord Jesus is making it clear that if we are yielded to God and belong to Him and let His will be done in our hearts, we will find that we are free from anxiety. In chapter 6, beginning at verse 24, these things are spelled out for us, and so we shall just read and comment on these things. It begins with, in verse 24, with this statement, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." As we think about this, we are struck immediately with the fact that a good many people are inclined to think they're not serving anybody. And of course, in that, they're wrong. They're mistaken. The truth of the matter is that there will be some value we cherish, some person we want to please, some reason we have for doing anything. And what the Lord Jesus is saying here is that we can't do two things, different things, at the same time. It's as simple as this, and I can word it this way for you. Nobody can go both north and south at the same time. That's all there's to it. Isn't that so simple? You can't go both north and south at the same time. You can't go both east and west at the same time. You can't go both up and down at the same time. This is all our Lord means to say. No man can serve two masters. If you have a pail that's full of honey, you can't have it full of milk. If it's full of milk, you can't have it full of honey. It's either or, and life is like that. He goes on to say that either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't have them both. You cannot serve God and mammon, being that these two are opposite to each other. Then he goes on to speak about this. "Therefore I say unto you, inasmuch as this is true, and inasmuch as you want to really be blessed of God, then I want to tell you this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Now this phrase, "take no thought," really should be better translated to us, "do not be anxious." One could say, "do not worry." In other words, do not be preoccupied with concern about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? When it says here your life, it means your physical life. Do not be specially concerned about these things of eating and drinking and clothing. Is not the life more than meat and the body than the raiment? In other words, you yourself are more important than what you eat or what you drink or what you put on. And then he uses some illustrations of his idea. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" When I first began to read the Bible with an interest in it and with confidence in it, really wanted to believe it, when I came across this verse, for example, I always felt embarrassed. I wished I could skip it. It didn't seem to me to be practical, and I was just almost ashamed that anything could be in the Bible that was so impractical as this. I grew up in the country, and it just seemed to me that the idea that the birds of the air would have everything provided for them, I just couldn't see it. "Behold the fowls of the air, these birds." And I didn't realize how mistaken my view was. When I really pinned myself down to see what I was really thinking, I think I had a kind of an idea that this was saying that the bird would just sit on a fence post and that God would come and drop the worm in the mouth. Or that a bird would just sit on a tree and sing and that God would just bring the flies and the insects and just put them in the bird's mouth. That's not the way it happens. Now I ask myself again, behold the fowls of the air. Consider the birds or the chickens in your yard. It's true that they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I know that's true. But they're not inactive, are they? Now you consider those birds. When do you hear them in the morning? Chances are when you wake up, they're already at it. You see? Have you ever heard the phrase, going to bed with the chickens? That means going to bed early. And what about getting up with the chickens? That means getting up early. And I'll give you a little practical idea in passing. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's just a very practical little observation. What I want to point out to you about that is this. If the point the Lord Jesus is making is not that these creatures aren't active. These birds go out and they fly and they hunt for their worms and they hunt for their insects. What then is he drawing attention to? As I think about it, I've come to the conclusion that when that bird goes out looking for a worm, you know, he expects to find one. He's out there actually walking across your yard, listening, he's really expecting to find a worm. He thinks it's there. And the same is true when the woodpecker sits on the side of the tree and bangs his bill against the bark of the tree and makes that clacking noise that you hear and you say, there's a woodpecker pecking and so on. And he's trying to get the bugs scared out from under the bark. You know what? He thinks the bugs are there. He's actually expecting that these things are provided for him. And that, I think, is what the Lord wants us to keep in mind. And do you know what? As far as you and I are concerned, if you would go out in the morning and expect that it will be there, whatever your business is, whatever your work is, just look for what God has prepared. God's got it ready for you, just as well as he has for the birds. That's what this would mean. And then again, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take your thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now let's consider the lilies for a moment. In what way could you possibly claim that a lily of the valley, such as they had in Palestine, which is the little small flower, is more glorious than Solomon, an oriental potentate, in his court? How can that be? How can you say that a little flower growing in your backyard is more wonderful than some glorious pageantry, something covered with gold and silver and purple and silks and satins and furs and feathers, all that kind of thing that men put together? How can you possibly do that? All right, now look at Solomon for a moment. Let me suggest something to you. Suppose you took off all of Solomon's trappings. Take off his gold. Take off his jewelry. Take off all that he put on. Take off that clothing. That's just hung on him anyway. Take those things away. Strip him. And what would you have? Well, you'd be embarrassed to think about it. And I'll tell you right now, you wouldn't have anything very lovely. I can tell you that right now. You'd have a rather scrawny-looking individual that wouldn't particularly excite anybody's admiration, I'll tell you that. Now you go out to the field, and you look at that flower again. You look at that little wild flower. It doesn't have anything on it. It hasn't got any paint put on it. It doesn't have any clothing put on it. It doesn't have any gold or silver hung on it. What do you actually have? What the flower is from the inside out. It really is what you see. And when you look at Solomon in all his glory, that's not Solomon. That's the glory that's hung on him. And I think this is what the Lord Jesus has in mind. If you and I will actually yield ourselves to God and serve him, something will happen to us from the inside out. You won't have to pretend. You don't have to put on an act. You will really, sincerely, actually be something that is agreeable to God and is helpful to mankind, because God will make you that way. And so we have in these two figures, the fowls of the air. Always keep this in mind when you're thinking about that. And I'll give you a promise. I'll promise you one thing. You get up with the birds, and you be as active as they are looking for your work, and I'll guarantee you that that day you'll be successful. You'll make it go. Now with reference to the lilies. Be yourself when God's grace is in your heart. Let him have his way in you. Don't put on any pretense. Don't put on any act. Put your trust in God. And believe me, God will bring it to pass. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, like those lilies, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, that is, don't be anxious, don't be worried, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. You see, if you don't have faith in God, then you're concerned about these things. If you don't have faith in God, you're scared you won't get enough to eat, you won't have enough to drink, you won't be clothed right, you won't have shelter, and you won't have things, because everything depends on you, and you know how frail you are. But if you put your trust in God, you don't have to be worried about those things. Your heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of all these things. Now, I do not think, as I've indicated to you, that this means to teach at all that we can afford to be lazy. There's no place in the Bible for a lazy man. That's not the point. But we don't have to be worried. We can go out each day with our work expecting that God will actually provide. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it's all summarized in this word. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't be anxious about it. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this gracious truth. Help us to understand it and to live this way. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.